or hands, whatever you prefer. Well, every year they try to do something different in Wings, and I'm the different this year. If you would have told me 2 months ago I'd be here like this, I wouldn't believe you. I don't really believe in freak things. However, I am the victim of a freak thing. I was sitting on my driveway in my wheelchair waiting for my transportation. I use Anaheim wheels. They pick me up and take me down to the bingo hall, and we play bingo. And it was that real windy Saturday, and I had moved them so I could line up perfectly for when the bus comes. I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, I felt this hit me in the back, and the wheelchair started to roll. Of course, I hadn't put the brakes on. Dumb, but that's not the dumbest thing I've ever done. As I went down the driveway, I couldn't stop. And I put this leg down to stop it, and it got wrapped in the foot pedal and pulled underneath the wheelchair. I don't really remember too much after that, except for the pain and the black. Everything was black. Anyway, nobody was on my street. Along came my gardener, thank God. It was his day to do the lawns. And he wanted to pull me up out of the wheelchair. I said, no. No, just take the whole wheelchair back up. Well, he couldn't have pulled me because my foot was literally stuck to the ground. I couldn't move it. They had to literally pry my foot off the asphalt. And the doctor says the chances are, and I believe them, the chances are like 1 in 1,000 of that ever happening. So anyway, long story short, paramedics were called, went to the hospital, went x-rays, got transferred from Kaiser Anaheim to Kaiser Irvine, where they do what they call the bone doctors, because I had fractured the femur. Now, what you need to know, as before fracturing the femur, 20 years ago, I had this knee replaced. So the doctor said to my family, when we get in there, we'll probably have to replace everything that ever was done. There's nothing I could do about it. And I would pray, ask for my rosary. They told me I couldn't take my rosary into surgery. I said, then I'm not going to surgery. I'm very stubborn. I'm not a really good nurse. Patient, okay. And I said, that rosary goes with me, it stays with me, and I want it there when I wake up. And it was. Okay. Anyway, they show me the x-rays. That was exciting. And this rosary is getting caught on this. What the heck? Okay, I got it. The 20-year-old piece that they put in this knee was in perfect contact. Perfect. And doctor didn't believe it. He said it was too old. When they did the surgery, they gave you 10 years, okay? It was 20. So I was happy, okay? So as it turned out, my kids were going to take care of me at home until the fact that we found out I couldn't move the leg. Could not move the leg off them. Okay, so I agreed to go back to the nursing home, which is the place I've been for the other surgeries. And was up in the wheelchair for therapy. The therapist had me. And as she took me back into my room, I don't know what happened. She missed. And she ran this foot right smashed into the... And I'm thinking, please God, what did I do to deserve this? You know, I don't know. So since that time, yesterday I got my foot up that much off the floor, and that's progress, okay? When my foot can get two toes off the floor, I can go home. So that's my goal. But in the meantime, I said to the doctor, I can't stay here. She said, why not? I said, because My aunt died. I've got to go to her funeral. Okay. But I took care of that by streamlining my aunt's funeral for me. That was nice. The boy, who is now a 63-year-old man, who stayed with us his senior year of high school as an exchange student, was coming to the United States. He had called me the week before and said, "Hi, Mama. You know, I'm coming to the States. I'd like to see you." I said, "Great, come on over. We'll have lunch, blah, 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 blah." Great. So I gave my son that assignment. He got a hold of him. Met him at LAX last, I don't remember what it was, Saturday, I think. Brought him to the convalescent hospital. We had a lovely lunch, and my kids brought food in. We had nice. Only got to spend a few hours with him, but I hadn't seen him in over 28 years. It was just so neat. So that made me feel better. So all these things are making me feel better, and then I go to therapy and I don't feel good. It's like, this wheelchair isn't fitting right. My youngest sister was a physical therapist, so I kind of feel, I can feel what she's feeling, what they're feeling, but when it's you, it's a different story. When they came in my room at 5 o'clock this morning and said, "Are you ready for your trip?" I go, "Where am I going?" "Well, it says here you have to be ready for the pickup at 7 o'clock. I go, "Oh, that trip, okay. Sure, I'm ready. I'm ready for anything. I'd love to see." I fought. When they told me I couldn't go out of the building, when they told me I couldn't go home, when they told me that Kaiser wouldn't allow this, when they told me all this stuff, here comes Jean. "I'm going." "No, you can't go. I'm signing myself off of Kaiser." "What?" I said, "Kaiser's not the only insurance." "Oh, well, let me see what I can do for you." And my doctor is about 15 years old. She's teeny tiny. She's the cutest. I just want to squeeze her. She's so cute. Okay. And she goes, "You made me find things out about Kaiser that I didn't know." I said, "Well, that's your problem. If you work for a company, you don't know things." "Oh, okay." So she's like, "What else do you want?" I said, "Oh, don't get me started, lady." So anyway, let us begin, please. I just thought I'd better explain this to you so you figure out what the heck's going on, because I'm still trying to figure it out. Okay. Good morning. Let me share with you that when I was asked to read the first chapter in our study book, I took the book home, I sat down with it, I opened it up, read 2 pages, and thought, "Oh my God, who chose this book? And why?" So I put the book down. We did something else. This was like 2 months ago. They do give you time to write these talks. Picked up the book again. I got to page maybe 5 or 6. I thought, I want to improve my study, but not like this. Okay. I didn't know half the words in that book. Well, I knew half the words, but I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know how to relate to him. I thought, how am I ever going to put myself into this situation to share with the ladies? You can't put yourself something in that you don't even know where you're going. Okay. So I put it down again. And then when I got a call from him, his name is David, saying he's coming to the States, I thought, you're not going to have any time to work on this. You better get going on it. So I picked it up and I read through it and I thought, there's no way, God. I just can't do this. And then it was a little later, okay. So one day, I don't know, I was someplace, probably in church, where I spent a lot of time. Something clicked, and I thought, oh, I know what I can do. I know how I can relate to that. Everybody can relate to it if they go this way. But who knows if all you women are going to go the same way I'm going to go. It's something we have to try and see. But I'm willing to share with you, and I hope I don't bore you to death. Okay. So let me tell you, the first thing I did was look for prayers in that book. And in the very first chapter, there is a prayer. And let me share it with you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord God, help us listen with the ears of our hearts as we spend time with your word. Reveal yourself to us today as you have revealed yourself through the ages, and strengthen in us in your gifts of faith, hope, and love. A lot of what I read, I just simply did not comprehend. I didn't know what this book was about. I closed the book. I read again the intro that the author had written, trying to get into his mindset to where he was going and what he was trying to do, and it wasn't going anywhere. So I just said, okay, faith. Which one of these is strongest, faith, hope, or love? And what I really came to the conclusion to is they're really not strongest. They're all equal. You have to have all to have a good life. And I don't think this is going to work very well, but we'll try. Okay. And I chose faith because faith to me is what I've acted on all my whole life. Of course, I've had hope about lots of things, my family, my kids, myself, the world, the government, especially the government nowadays. I have a lot of hope and prayer for them, as I'm sure many of you do, because we're forced to pray for our government. Not in so many words, but we're forced to pray. I really believe that. Okay, so there's no single word for faith in the Hebrew scriptures. There is rather a cluster of words that carries the sense of reliability, trust, worthiness, confidence, belief. Faith in a biblical sense is a personal relationship with God. It is entering into and clinging to a personal relationship with God who is trustworthy. Faith, hope, and love are three gifts that make our relationship with God possible. Are you a Catholic? How would I know that? Am I a Catholic? How would you know that? One way you might be able to tell that I'm Catholic is that I wear a necklace with a cross on it, except I broke it. I haven't been able to get a new necklace and cross since I broke my chain. That was on my plans of things to do these weeks, but you can't buy a cross and a necklace in a recovery hospital. You know I'm Catholic because my mom and dad and grandma said so. And if my grandma said so, it's true. It must be true. There is a picture packed away with a beautiful baby in a gorgeous white baptismal gown. My mom was a very talented seamstress. Good thing. I'm the oldest of four children, three girls and a boy. My first communion dress and veil were beautifully designed and sewn by my mom. After my baptism and Holy Communion, the dresses were wrapped in tissue paper and then brought out as each of my sisters needed it. Being from a very limited income family, I observed my parents' faith tested frequently. Even at that age, we kids could see the three gifts, faith, hope, and love, making our relationship with God possible. My parents put all their faith into raising good, Catholic, well-behaved church kids. As we grew, we were Catholic school educated. We received rosaries for baptisms and First Communion gifts. The rosaries were put on high shelves so they wouldn't get broken. I didn't really understand why everybody gave us a rosary. The same present from everybody for everything was a rosary. And we couldn't play with it. And we weren't allowed to wear it around our necks. Why were these rosaries important? We were taught by the nuns, and I'm sure the nuns I had were all bald, because I couldn't see their hair. I mean, after all, they kept their heads covered and they wore these long gowns that they called habits. Well, my mom and dad used to say, you better break that habit, you're gonna be in trouble. So when the nuns came and said their clothes were called habits, I thought, what did they break? We were the only neighbors on our block who went to Catholic school and church and had different Christmas and Easter vacation days. That was surely how everybody knew we were Catholics. I'm pretty sure even as a teenager, I didn't realize that faith, hope, and love were to be shared. Instead, I thought they were our special gifts just for us so we could be Catholics. We were told God loved us when we were good. Not sure when I learned to sing, have faith, hope, and charity. That's the way to live successfully. How do I know? Because the Bible tells me so. In the book where you're studying, that book, I can't say bad things about things, so in that book we are using, it goes into the study of Abraham and God, who initiates and creates community. Because of the sharings I've been blessed to be part of, just as you will, I know there are many women in Wings who are far more knowledgeable explaining or sharing this subject with you. Jokingly, the only thing I know for sure is that Father Abraham had many kids. You are one, and so am I. And we go marching on. During my junior high school years, my dad became very frail. It seemed like he was never well. His doctor suggested that we move to a drier climate. So my parents bought a home in Fullerton, and Catholic school education was no longer affordable in this area. Catholic school education just had to sit on the back burner, and it hurt my parents so bad. And my grandmas, of course, thought we weren't going to get no learning from those public schools. We were enrolled in CCD classes at St. Mary's in Fullerton, and I received my confirmation in seventh grade. I received another rosary. I remember hearing that as long as I had a rosary, I was going to heaven. In our new neighborhood, there was an older lady named Ruth. Since my mom had to visit my dad at the hospital every night when she got off work, Ruth became our designated driver to CCD lessons. In my junior and senior year, I was chosen by Sister Mary Rosary Beads to teach summer school religion to first and second graders for a couple of summers. I walked a mile to church and a mile back, 5 days a week, for a few weeks every summer. I was given a rosary as a thank you gift. No one taught me how to say it. I had so many, I must be a real special Catholic. Is your rosary feeling warm in your hands right now? Your rosary is meant to give you comfort. Time passed, and I remained in the closeness of the Lord, substituting as a CCD teacher when needed, relying many times on faith and praying quietly when I felt the need. My dad continued slowing down, seeing various doctors. Nothing they were doing for him seemed to help him. He just wasn't doing well. And we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed. And every time they think they found something, it didn't work. It didn't make him better. He wasn't the dad that got up and played ball, rode bicycles, or took us hiking. So, when my dad was going through all this, it was the same time that we became of dating age, or almost dating age. Okay. And my dad said to my sisters and myself, I only want you to date Catholic men. So several times we said to him, I'm going out with whoever it was, and he's bringing his baptismal certificate. That's the truth. I remember telling my parents that I trusted in my faith in God to find a good guy for me to date. My dad was in and out of St. Jude's Hospital for who knows what. I think we saw every floor. I think at that time they had 3 floors. And then they had cardiac over here, and then he wasn't a cardiac patient anymore, so they moved over here to see what he was, and he couldn't find anything, so they moved back to cardiac. And this went on all the time. If there was an x-ray, he had it, if there was a test. But you have to keep in mind, back in 1985, was it? They didn't have all the tests they have today. I firmly believe that if my dad was alive today, I mean, he would be alive, because of all the tests and the knowledge. But the knowledge came from these men and women going to school and being educated by people willing to share their knowledge with them and then with all of us to benefit by. So I am most grateful for doctors and nurses. Well, I became friends with some of the nuns. I worked the afternoon shift, and that's where they put single nuns. Now, that didn't make sense to me because I didn't know any married nuns. But I was told single nuns work the afternoon shifts. Don't know why, but that's what I was told, and I always remember that. I found out that one of the nuns was praying for me to become a nun. You should have seen her face when I told her, absolutely not. I told her Mother Superior at the convent wouldn't let me in when I told her my ambition was to be a nun and have 12 children. I read that Abraham, during his faith journey, gathered many more people to share God's love and faith with than I ever could. A few years after nursing school graduation, I met David, a good Catholic man. That was more than 55 years ago. We were married in 1970, and this September we will celebrate 56 years of marriage. We have a son and a daughter. They're both married, and their spouses feel like our own children. They each have a son and a daughter. We were invited to make a crucial weekend in 1979. On that crucial weekend, 46 years ago, I found where I belonged on my faith walk. Since then, I've grown so much closer with God and learned the blessings received by praying to our Blessed Mother. I pray every day to Mary. I stop and invite her father to come with her son to come with us. Sometimes I can feel his presence right on the other side of me. I have often shared that when I'm in church in my appointed hour or my apostolic hour or my visitation hour or whatever you need to call it, I want that church to myself. None of you belong there. That's my church, okay? And I have a hard time with that. To be so involved in my mind with my rosary, praying and thinking and asking and whatever, and then somebody opens that back door. You know, is that rude? I mean, how can people do that? And then the next day I go to church and I go, hi, I'm here. So the person in front thinks, who's that rude lady? It happens. It's very hard for me to share. And God, I like to share, I will share, I want to share, but I do think I have first dibs on them. I have to tell you, so many prayers have been answered just by taking a few minutes out, praying about it, concentrating about it, expressing my faith to anyone who will listen. Just be there. Just know that I am there to listen. I don't have to have all the answers. I think I do sometimes, but find myself wrong. I've worked over 85 crucial weekends and have been blessed to witness many conversions and sharing with people, getting to know God better. This has helped me to understand the power of putting faith in prayers and the importance of praying the rosary and offering meditations. I also enjoy spending quiet time in adoration. I really like the quiet. I don't get that much at home. An example of a faith walk in my family would be the journey of one of my granddaughters. She was diagnosed with Hashimoto's. It's Hashimoto. That's an autoimmune disease that affects your thyroid. My sister, right after me, had a complete thyroidectomy years ago. And that was the first that we were even aware that we had that in our family. So all of us have been tested. In fact, we just had our round of tests before all this happened. Because they say it can activate at any time. Not a good feeling. Our Logan has chronic pain and has affected her growth and education. She's been pulled out of public school, pulled out of private school, put into home school. My daughter-in-law has educated her, and somehow this is a brilliant child. I don't understand it, but she is. Thankful to God? You bet we are. Through her own adoration moments and prayers, she has found comfort and faith. She's in her second quarter at St. John Paul the Great Catholic University in Escondido. I read a couple of her books she had to write. One of her instructors is a priest, an English priest. And I don't even know how he taught that stuff. It's comparable to our book, I think. But she caught on and she wrote the most beautiful report. And another one, she's just doing really well, and I keep thanking God every day and just hope that it doesn't break down anywhere and that she gets through. It's a three-year college. That's one of the reasons that my son chose it for her, because with her health issues, we don't know what's going to happen. And he figured in 3 years, she stands a better chance of getting a degree. She is studying new evangelization and graphic design. And she's very talented in both. Another challenge in our family's faith formation has been her older brother and the physical and emotional challenges of autism. He also deals with ulcerative colitis. There have been many hospitalizations for this kid, this young man, and it continues to be a challenge. And we continue to pray for him daily. And I know the Women of Wings do. Many times I've had to ask because he was in the hospital, and the Women of Wings come through with their prayers, very powerful prayers. Not only do I ask for prayers for Lucas, I ask for prayers for my husband, David, who during COVID came this close to not being with us anymore. And they were able to bring him around, but bringing him around, he was diagnosed with early dementia. And right now it's not early anymore. It's growing. I can see it. It makes me very sad. It's very hard to work with. They put him on some medication that didn't help. They want me to put him in a home. Well, I said, that's fine and dandy, but all the homes I checked out cost $5,000 a month. And like I said, fine, I'll put David in that home if that's what he needs, and I'll give him the $5,000 a month. And on the other 2 cents that are remaining from our Social Security checks, I'll eat. Somehow I don't think that's what David wants for me. Somehow that's not my mission in life. And I'm wrestling with it, and I pray for it, and I pray every day. It doesn't stop. I often say, Jesus, I trust in you. And then keep the faith. And then remind myself again, keep the faith. I joined Wings about 13 years ago. It takes many women sharing for the success of Wings. This upcoming May, Mary, our mentor, where is she, will be inviting all of us to place our faith in God as we discern different positions in Wings for next year. I encourage you, this is a faith-filled group. To be part of this group, you should be very proud. You should also always feel the prayers. You can just reach out. We get a directory every year. Call any number in that book and ask somebody for prayers, and you've got it. Unquestioned. And if they call you, please return the favor. It's so powerful what the Women in Wings can do. Well, I've had a couple of positions in Wings, a couple I've really enjoyed, and one was being shepherd. Because being shepherd is just the greatest thing in the world. You have your partner, who you grow very close to. You have, 14, 15, 17 women in your group to share very closely with. And I personally grow to know God closer each time, just because of the sharing and the love and the faith and the hope. It's so great. You can't beat it. Okay. The other job that I really like in Wings is opportunity drawing chairman. When you bring your dollars to me, yay! Okay. I get great delight working with Nancy Hazard. Okay, we have fun sitting back there. But the best times are when we have the Rainbow Stampede. That's not what it's called, but that's what I call it. Okay. And you come in that door over there and you've got all these colors and da 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 da. And what color should I choose? Da 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 da. We can't tell you what color to choose. You've got to choose it. And the reasons we hear for the colors that you choose are really amazing. Okay. But I can tell you the most favorite color is blue. And almost all the ladies say it's for Mother Mary. Isn't that great? We're all surrounded with Mother Mary's love and buying a ticket. So bring your dollars. I actually get excited coming to St. Martin's Hall at 7:30 on those four Wednesdays of the year. And just listening to all of you share your love and share with one another. And think that you're cheating us because two tickets stuck together. Oh, I've got that ticket. It's okay, that's your ticket, it's a bonus ticket, yeah. Yeah, I'm not about to argue tickets with anybody, okay? And some of our tickets do stick together. One of the bad things that happens is we get so busy out there that we really can't stand and talk to you that long. So we have to cut you off. That kind of hurts our feelings. But we're willing to catch up with you anytime you want. The faith-filled actions we take remind us that it's not our age, and that's from the book. You read it in there, okay? The faith-filled actions we take remind us that it's not our age, but God's call that determines our future and how He will use us. It was these very Wings women who covered my family in prayer, food, and supplies when we were so hard hit with COVID. There were times in the evening when women would call and ask me if we needed anything, if we had any had enough supplies, if we had enough food. Such generous, loving people. I'd say, I think we're okay. Thank you for calling. And then we wake up the next morning, and on our front porch would be things like toilet paper, paper plates, napkins, with a note saying, you must run out of these sometime. I never thought about toilet paper. I guess I would have one day, but whatever. Anyway, special angels all around you. You have given yourself one of the best gifts ever by joining Wings. And I encourage you to invite others. My daughter-in-law found out that Nancy and her special group of friends are one of the people who dropped off things at our door every day. And then there was Martha and Annette, lots of people. Some that we never found out about, and that's okay. We didn't know we appreciate them. A few years ago, I was asked to head the women's annual retreat for the next 3 years here at St. Martin's. That necessitated going for an interview with Father C. He shared he would prefer a parish member to head the retreat. I thought, his loss. I was being selfish. Because it took me so long to work up the courage to go talk to a priest. So I left here. I went to my parish, San Antonio de Padua, to spend some time in prayer and prayed. I said a rosary and went back to this very office at this parish and filled out a registration form. I became a member of this parish. The next day, Father C. called me. He said, "I recognize your name." I said, "Yeah, a lot of people do." He said, "I'd like to invite you to lead the women's retreat." Okay, Father. And so the planning began, and we had several years of retreat. From there, I met another beautiful woman, Lucy Raw. I don't know if she's here today or not. Anyway, she has taken over leading the retreat. I can tell you the retreat this year is going to be one day on June 13th. I can feel myself growing closer to Christ this year with my Orange group of leaders, Pat Piper and Ellen Rosen. You should consider volunteering to be a shepherd. You will grow in your faith walk and journey over the years in this faith. You will have faith, hope, and love all around you. I have been blessed to meet many wonderful faith-filled leaders. And another special blessing in my life is my good friend, Tracy Rocha. Many of you know her. Who often says, "Put your faith in the Lord. If he leads you to it, he'll get you through it." How many times I've been able to pray for her parents and now her new grandson. All my family members have felt her prayers. Saying a rosary with Tracy brings sunshine to my days, evenings, and even some nights. Tracy offers her faith and love of our Lord to everyone she meets. You can find her in environments, teaching skills, music. I first met Tracy when she was working at St. Norbert's Church, I think it was. She was heading up the new kindergarten program there, the preschool. I took my granddaughter, who was really little at that time, just to go over and see what it was all about. And there I met Tracy, and we've been friends ever since. Tracy extends herself beyond. I don't know how she even stays married. She's gone so much, it seems like, but he loves her, and he puts up with it, and he helps her, okay? Just recently, she took on leading a group rebuilding a house for a vet with six children who has lost his job. She not only took over redoing the house, she had, I think, half of Crucille involved. Mm-hmm. We painted, we wallpapered, we decorated, we furnished. That house was beautiful for six kids. And she got each one of those kids a Christmas present, a special, not just any Christmas present, the one they really wanted. It was so neat. Last year, she took over heading the auction, the Crucille auction dinner. And also last year, she gathered candy and more candy. And that table over there was full of candy for the deployed Marine families in San Diego. She even got some Easter bunnies and toys. You only need to talk to Tracy for a short time to be able to feel the hope and love you will read about in the book. She always shares faith, hope, and love. Always, always, always. Tracy's name is spelled with an extra E. Or spelled with an E. And a few years ago, I was talking to her mom, and I said, "Can you tell me why you put that extra E in Tracy's name?" And she said, "I don't know. They just said, how do you want to spell the baby's name when I was giving birth or whatever?" And I just told them, and some nurse said, "It looks pretty with the E in it." She goes, "Okay, put an E in it." I told Tracy's mom, "I think that E means energy." And she said, "I think you're right." Okay. Another very, very special lady in my life, I've known for at least 50 years. She's a lady my grandkids call Nana Banana. We have taught religion lessons, attended many masses and retreats together. We have traveled and gone on cruises with our husbands. We put our faith and hope into action when it was time to place her husband, Jim, on hospice when he was battling cancer. I was able to support her family just as she supported me as my mom suffered from a heart disease. There have been baptisms, marriages, baby showers, children, grandchildren, always turning to prayer when needed. I'm so thankful I learned the beauty of the rosary. We have said many rosaries together. Diana Shea makes the most beautiful rosaries anyone could ever want. As she makes each one, she offers special prayers for that particular person. We have been blessed to share our rosaries and our prayers with many groups of people. We've been asked to lead them in the convalescent hospitals. We've just taken them everywhere. We've done programs together on retreats. We just share. We share our faith. We've had so many activities together, some of which I can't tell you about. More than one time during my hospice career, a patient's family requested a Catholic worker to come and pray with them and their loved ones. If our chaplains weren't able to contact the family's priest, I'd go after work and pray with them. It was a blessing. It was a gift. Encountering the God of faith, hope, and love in all those moments. One time I had a family ask me if I had an extra rosary. Oh, you come to the right person. From that time on, I always carried a rosary in my nursing bag. And I would give to any requesting families. Would you happen to have another one? Oh, sure. I gave 2, 3, 4 rosaries out of the house, but only with the promise that they would pray. And if they didn't know how to pray, we sat there for another hour and began to learn to pray. One of the families at whose funeral I went to said to me, "Your praying got me through. I wasn't even going to cry at my dad's funeral. But I said to Mary, is it okay to die, to cry when your dad dies, when you're the oldest and everybody's depending on you?" And Mary said, "Cry, for those tears he died." Pope John Paul XXII, was it Mary? Said that when you're holding the rosary, it's like holding Mary's hand. Grab on a little tighter. At this time, please join me in praying a decade of the rosary. In the interest of time, we're going to split it up a little bit. We're only going to say one decade because we don't have time for the whole rosary. Okay. So, if the ladies on this side of the room will say the first half of the Hail Mary, ladies on this side, if you finish up, okay. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women,
and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. Thank you. So to wrap this up, let me just say, faith and hope are very closely connected. When I think more about it, hope is the outcome after we do something like this, after we share. Wouldn't it be nice if we could go stand out on Yorba Linda Boulevard and just start singing the rosary? Just think what the world. We'd all be run over, but the worst you can get is a broken leg. And I know how to deal with that. Okay. I think the strongest thing that I've prayed for over many, many years is my brother. And I was surprised to learn that St. Thomas is his saint day today, because my brother Thomas is who I'm talking about. When he came back from Vietnam, he was a completely changed man. He was fearful, frightening, scary, threatened my parents. No matter what my parents did and he didn't like, it was bad. We had to get a restraining order from him. We had to keep him away from family activities. He wasn't allowed to come to my daughter's wedding. He wasn't allowed to be near us. I do know, because I chased after him, quietly, after both my sisters. One sister, the one in Idaho, had thyroid trouble all her life and then died of a brain tumor. The other sister was a physical therapy. Her husband, and lived in Wyoming, came home from work one day and she was laying on the floor and her husband nearly tripped on her and she said, "Get me up off of the floor." And those were the last words she spoke. They took her to whatever hospitals in Wyoming, and they don't know. We don't know what she died from. It just is general something on her death certificate. So with that, I decided I better find out about my brother, at least find out where my brother was, to find out his health history, because he had told us all that he had cancer. One time when he wanted some money from my mom and dad, he told them he was dying from cancer. So I tried to chase him down. I found out he's in Apple Valley. I found out he is now on his 7th or 8th marriage. His daughters don't talk to him, and I hardly ever get to talk to him because they live in Indiana. But I pray for him all the time. But I'm not about to pick up the phone and call him because I'm afraid. And I know I have God protecting me, but I'm afraid. So I have to leave it the way it is to protect my own little family right here. So I hope you've had a good morning. I hope that I've shared some good stuff with you. And I hope that you have a wonderful life. Amen.